some time now we've been looking at how to study the Bible. We will end that series tonight, and Lord willing, if we get liberty from the Lord, we'll start another series on the church covenant. But tonight we want to look again at studying the Word of God. Last few months, we've been looking at context. We need to study everything, of course, within its context. There's an immediate context, which is the verse and surrounding verses. There's a near context, which be the book in which it is written. And then there's a more remote context, but no less important, in fact, maybe more important than all the rest, and that is the entire Bible. The entire Bible is the context and the guide for understanding any passage of Scripture. No passage of Scripture can be contrary to any other passage of Scripture. By just knowing the general context of Scripture, just knowing what the Bible says, you can eliminate a lot of interpretations, so-called, of Scripture. We can read something, perhaps we don't know exactly what it means, but knowing what the Bible says, we know what it doesn't mean, and that helps. So everything has to be taken within the context of Scripture. Now, the Bible, of course, is an amazing book, the most amazing book ever written. It is the most wonderful book ever written. You have men who were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and under the direction of the Holy Spirit, they wrote. It was written over a period of 1,600 years. It was written at different times. It was written in different places. It was written under a great variety of circumstances. But inspiration guarantees the Bible to be uniform, guarantees it. If you believe, and certainly everyone here does, if you believe in inspiration of Scripture, you have to believe that the Bible is uniform, that the Bible does not contradict itself. Parts of it were written in tents, parts of it were written in deserts, parts of it were written in cities and palaces and dungeons, and sometimes it was written in times of danger, it was written in times of joy. But no matter where and no matter when it was written, it's uniform. The writers, a great variety of personality, great variety of character. Some of the writers were judges. Some of them were kings. Some of them were priests, were prophets, were herdsmen, were scribes, were soldiers, were physicians, fishermen, and on you could go. But again, in spite of all of that, and in spite of the fact that it was written over a period of 1,600 years, it's uniform. It is one book. Though it is comprised of 66 books, it is one book. It is one book. And everything about it is uniform. It's in agreement in all of its parts. So we have to keep in mind that the interpretation of a specific passage cannot contradict the teaching of the Word of God. If we interpret something and it causes a contradiction, then we are misinterpreting. We are not rightly dividing the Word of God. When the Word of God is rightly divided, again, it all flows together. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, "No prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation." Again, it does not contradict itself, but it is a complete unit, and Scripture is its own best commentary. The best way to find out what a verse of Scripture means is to read the rest of the Bible, because the Bible is its own best commentary, and no part of Scripture is an isolated fragment. There are no isolated verses. They all fit together. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 39, and a lot of what we're going to say is things we've said these last couple of months, but we want to speak of the importance of studying the Word of God. We cannot overemphasize the importance of every child of God to be in the Word of God. It is a terrible testimony when a Baptist church, when a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is ignorant of what God's Word says. The most grounded people in the world ought to be the members of the Lord's churches. In John 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them," that is the Scriptures, "you think you have eternal life. And they," the Scriptures, "are they which testify of me." Search the Scriptures. That speaks of being thorough. Search. Make a thorough check into the Word of God. It means to examine the Word of God. Don't just read it. Examine it. Examine each word. It means to inspect. We are to inspect the Scriptures. We are to scrutinize them. We are to seek the Scriptures, seek out of the Scriptures, pursue the Scriptures. The very word search implies labor. It's a work. It's an enjoyment, but it's also a work. And it requires effort. You can read something for relaxation and not a whole lot of effort is required, but that's not the case with the Word of God. The Word of God requires intense effort. When we read the Scriptures, we have to stop, we have to think, we have to go to other Scriptures, and all of this is effort. But it's worth it all. And as God's people, we of course ought to want to put forth the effort. Something is wrong with a child of God's heart that does not want to put forth the effort to find out what God's Word teaches. So this searching requires labor, requires effort. It implies a degree of difficulty. When you're searching for something, it can be difficult. It may even at times prove tiresome. So it implies difficulty. It's not easy. It's not easy to search the Scriptures like you ought to. It's not easy, first of all, because your flesh is going to war against it, and the devil is going to fight against it every step of the way. It's difficult. It is a difficult thing to search the Scriptures. But from the very definition of the word search, we see that we are to be thorough. We're to be exact. We haven't really searched for anything if we haven't been thorough. And we have not searched the Scriptures unless we're thorough, unless we're exact. So this is something that goes beyond just listening to the Word of God preached. It goes beyond somebody telling you what a verse of Scripture means. It's you searching scriptures and you finding out for yourself what it means. And every member in the Lord's church, other than someone who's just newly been saved, ought to be able to tell anybody what they believe, why they believe it, and go to "Thus saith the Lord." And again, we ought to be grounded in the truth. It's not something that is searching, is not something that is done in a haphazard, in careless manner. Yet many today, if they were to examine their attitude toward the Word of God, it's very haphazard. It's very careless. In fact, some are more careful reading the world's literature than they are the Word of God. And that's a sin. That's a sin. We ought to be more serious about reading God's Word than anything else. I'm not saying it's wrong to read anything else, but we ought not be haphazard and careless in our reading of the Scriptures. Then notice in Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34 and verse 16. Isaiah 34, verse 16. "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. The word "seek" there is the same as "search." So we're to search, but we're told to do something else also. We're to search, and we are to read. Again, this is not speed reading. This is reading it slowly. Reading is recognizing written words. It is putting together written words. It is to, when you read something, you want to know what you're reading. You want to know, you want to be able to understand, and you want to be able to comprehend what you are reading. People not understanding the Word of God, the fault is not the King James Bible. That's not why people cannot understand the Word of God. If a person cannot understand the Word of God, I mean, they never seem to know what it's saying. They're always misinterpreting. They're missing something. They're missing the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God interprets the Word of God. We do not need it to be put in modern English. We need the Spirit of the Lord. Again, it's been proven over and over, and we're not going to get into the importance of King James Bible, but it's been proven over and over that the modern translations are at a higher grade level than King James Bible. But people have it in their mind that they cannot understand the word "ye," that they can't understand the word "thee" and "thy." Not that difficult. That's not the problem. I mean, I'd be embarrassed to tell somebody that I did not understand what the word "ye" meant or the word "thee." I mean, if that was okay, I wouldn't go around admitting it. But they do, but that's not the problem. The problem is a lack of the Holy Spirit. So reading implies a desire to understand, a desire to comprehend. So we are to search, we are to read. As we read, we're to search. And again, you can read without searching, but we're to read and we're to search. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy to study, to show himself approved. Study. We're to search, we're to read, we're to study. To study means to give earnest attention. It means to carefully consider, to carefully examine. And all studying is done with a purpose. You have a purpose for studying. And all studying is done with an intent. And we are to study the Word of God. We're to have a purpose in our study. And that is to find out what God says. We're to have an intent in our study. So we are to search, we are to read, and we are to study the Word of God. Now again, you can read without searching. You can read without studying. But we're not just to merely read. We're to do all three. Search, read, and study the Word of God. In Acts 17 and verse 11, we see that the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They didn't just listen to Paul and Barnabas preach. They didn't just take their word for it. They searched the Scriptures. And they did this daily. That means they did more than read the Scriptures. They certainly read them, but they searched the Scriptures. And again, they did so every single day. And God's people ought to search the Scriptures every day. It may suffice for a babe in Christ to buy a little devotional, daily bread, or whatever. I just picked that out because it came to my mind. And you read the page in the book, and then you read the verse of Scripture. That's pretty shallow. That's pretty shallow. That may suffice for a babe in Christ. And I'll tell you, if you do that, and that's your extent of Bible study, you will remain a babe in Christ. We have to get beyond those things. And if you just follow a plan of reading the Scriptures through in a year, you're reading, but you're not searching. You're not searching. And you're not studying. You cannot possibly study that amount of Scripture in one day. Not if you do it right. There's not enough time in a day. So we need to search them every day. And this is what causes us to grow. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17. We'll read verses 18 through verse 20. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Here's the purpose of reading. He may learn to fear the Lord his God. You learn that. You learn that by reading, studying the Scriptures all the days of your life. To keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. So the Scriptures are to be searched daily. The Scriptures are to be read daily. The Lord told Joshua in Joshua 1 and verse 8, and we read the same thing in Psalm 1 and verse 2, the Scriptures are to be meditated upon daily. It's not enough just to read it. It's not enough just to search it. We have to meditate upon the Scriptures. That means that we set our hearts upon the words of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 46, we read, "Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day." That's meditation. That is, you read a verse of Scripture, you search it, you study it, and then you carry it with you all through the day. And you think upon that Scripture. You think about what you read. You think about what the Lord has shown you that day. And you carry that with you all day long. You'll grow. You can't help but grow. If you learn the art of meditating upon the Word of God. What all of these verses is teaching us, we're to search the Scriptures daily. We're to read the Scriptures daily. We're to meditate upon the Scriptures daily. What all of this is saying is the Word of God is to have an everyday part of our life. There is not to be a day that goes by, unless we're in a coma or something, that we do not read, study, and search the Word of God. In other words, this is daily. It is to have a place of importance in our life. And I'm sorry, this may hurt some feelings, but if the only time you read the Word of God or open it up is Sunday morning, or Sunday evening, or Wednesday evening, the Word of God's not that important to you. It really isn't. It's not all that important. It doesn't have a very large place in your life. And it certainly does not have a place of prominence in your life. If that's all you do, is carry it with you on the Lord's day. It needs to be a daily part of our life because of what it is. Because of how the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. It's the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to impart spiritual life. When you and I were saved, He used the Word of God. Still does. And He still uses the Word of God to impart spiritual life. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to revive His people. The worst thing you can do if you're feeling blue and you're feeling down in the dumps is skip reading the Word of God that day. That's the worst thing you can do. Because the Word of God, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to revive His people. When you're down in the dumps, that's when you ought to be in the book more and studying it more and meditating upon it even more. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to sustain spiritual life, to feed spiritual life. The reason today that many people, when they come to the house of God, they have no hunger is because they haven't read the book all week long. Because the more you read it, the hungrier you are for it. So if we read the Word of God Monday through Saturday, we're going to be hungry come Sunday. But if you're not reading the Word of God, you're filling your belly, you're filling your mind with other things, with a bunch of junk. And then you come into the house of God, and you're not going to get much out of it because of all the junk that's in your head and it's in your mind. And that's how the majority of people come into the house of God today. They have fed on the junk of the world all week long. And now they expect the pastor to spoon-feed them the Word of God. They're babes, they're infants. And they will forever remain infants. As long as that is their practice. Spirit of God uses the Word of God to impart faith. Uses the Word of God to illuminate us. To guide us. To keep us from sin. To protect us. And if we stay in the Word of God every single day, you'd be amazed at the things that you are protected from. Just getting your head and your heart filled with the Word of God. You're protected. There's a hedge about you. Spirit of God uses the Word of God to produce hope. Uses the Word of God to admonish us. Uses the Word of God to comfort. To comfort us. You see, most people today, they have no idea what comfort really is. to them, comfort is, it doesn't matter how they're living, they want somebody to make them feel good about what they're doing. Well, that could just be plain dishonesty. But the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to comfort. And sometimes in comforting us, He rebukes us. He has to do that to get us to the place where we can be comforted. But He doesn't lie to us. He tells us the truth. And if you want comfort, stay in the Word. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to rejoice our hearts. And He does, and that's another reason we just need to stay in the Word. He uses the Word of God He has throughout the years to alter the course of men's lives. So it ought to have a daily part in our life because it is the tool of the Holy Spirit. So we're to search it, we're to read it, we're to study it. We are to meditate upon it. We are to do this every single day. This requires discipline. There has to be discipline. You have to discipline yourself to do this. You say, well, I don't have time. You do have time. There isn't anyone here that can honestly say, I do not have time. You do. You just have to make some choices. It comes down to some choices. And those choices will determine, or these choices manifest, just how important the Word of God is to us. But it requires discipline. It requires preparation. Now, if you're reading a novel, you can just flop down the couch, open it up, and read it. But that's not so with the Word of God. Word of God requires preparation. Preparation of the heart. It requires that we talk to the Lord and that we ask the Lord to show us what He would have for us this day. And we ask the Lord to feed us. And when we approach the Word of God with a prepared heart, I'm telling you, you'll get something out of it every single time. Every single time the Lord will bless you when you read it. It requires a plan. To read the Scriptures every single day, we're not to just read them randomly. If we do that, then that's disorganized, and we're not keeping everything within context. We need a plan. How we are going to approach, how we are going to read, how we are going to study the Word of God. And it really doesn't matter what your plan is. You just need a plan. If you want to do a word study, do a word study. If you want to study a topic, study a topic. If you want to study a book, study a book. But there has to be a plan. And whatever method you choose, you have to be thorough. You have to be thorough. And you have to be careful to observe the Word of God. So it requires discipline. It requires preparation. It requires a plan. And it requires seriousness. Again, the very words, search, meditate, study, implies a degree of seriousness. We've got to be serious about the Word of God. And we have to reflect upon what we read, and we have to give it thoughtful consideration, everything we read. We need to think about it. We need to think about what we've read. And again, meditate upon it. We're never to treat the Word of God as if it were insignificant. But is that not exactly what people do when they do not read it, do not study it, do not search it? They treat the Word of God as if it were insignificant. Oh, they're sure to carry it with them on Sundays. But all week long, they've treated it as if it were insignificant, as if it were unimportant, or as if it was trivial. And the Word of God, of course, is none of those things. So when we read the Word of God, we have to depend upon the Spirit of the Lord. Depend upon the Spirit of God to teach us, to show us. We have to approach the Word of God with humility, reverence, and awe. It ought to scare us the very thought that we might misinterpret a verse of Scripture, that we might wrongly divide the Scripture. And if that fear is within us, that will just cause us that much more to depend upon the Spirit of God to help us, to show us what it means. Again, you can get a commentary, you can look up what so-and-so thinks that verse means. You can do that. But you would be better off just going to the Lord and asking the Lord to show you what it means. He may not show you right then and there. And if he doesn't, it's because you don't need to know it right then and there. But he will show you in his time, and you just keep asking him to show you the Word of God. It should be studied, of course, with a spirit of submission. Our whole intent should be to submit to what it says, to do what it says, to obey. And then, of course, we ought to desire to understand it and to know everything it says. We ought to long, we ought to thirst, we ought to hunger to understand what God is saying. It is the world's greatest book. There is not another book like it anywhere. Anywhere. And therefore, we're to read it. We're to search it, we're to study it, we're to meditate upon it. And in so doing, as we've said throughout these months, we need to remember that every verse of Scripture, every word of Scripture has a meaning, has a solemn meaning. And every word is important. It's all important. No doubt some things are more important than others. There isn't anything unimportant in the Word of God. So when we study the Word of God, we need to be orderly. We need to be systematic. We need to be precise. We need to be exact as we study the Word of God. We must carefully observe every word. Carefully observe the phrases. Carefully observe the structure and the historical background and the parallel passages. We need to carefully observe all of those things. And this shows our seriousness for the Word of God. And it's only by doing this that we are able to rightly divide God's Word. So every day, search it, read it, study it, meditate upon it. You do that because it is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses. You also do that because you are to be able to, according to 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, you are to be able to give an answer to every man concerning the hope that is within you. Well, that's what Brother Dan preaches is not good enough. That's what I've been taught for the last 20 years. That's not good enough. You study the Scriptures so that you can give an answer. And we should not be intimidated by anybody when it comes to the Word of God. I don't care how smart an individual is. Their intelligence should not intimidate us from answering them with, "Thus saith the Lord. So we are to study it in order to give an answer. We are to study it in order to know truth. Jesus said in John 17, in verse 17, "Thy word is truth." And that is still true today. And if you want to know truth, then you study truth. You study the truth. You don't study error. You study the truth. And you study it over and over and over and over again. You search, read, and study the Word of God in order to grow in grace. You'll never grow. You'll never be what you ought to be unless you have a proper attitude toward the Word of God. And then we ought to search it, read it, and study it every single day in order to possess something that will last when everything else fails. You will have the Word of God in your heart, and that'll last. Jesus said in Matthew 24, He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away." What a blessing it is to have the Word of God in our hearts, because then we possess something that will not pass away. God's people ought to be the most confident, most assured people in the world. The world could look at it as error and call it what you want. But if you know the Word of God, you know what God says, then you can be confident in that. And you can be sure of what it says. And you can know. You can know what's right if you just know the Word of God. So that we might be like the Bereans, that we might search the Scriptures daily. Don't get in a bad habit concerning Bible study. Establish good habits in studying the Scriptures. And you'll grow. You'll be strong. And you'll have peace. And you'll have assurance. I'm not saying it'll be easy. But you'll possess those things. So may we study God's Word. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Jim will lead us in a verse of song.